You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Wednesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:20pm with Darren Owen, Andrew Mount and Rory Delaghi in the studio. We have racing at Nottingham, Fakenham and Chelmsford on Wednesday afternoon, and an evening of all-weather action at Kempton and over in Ireland from Dundalk. So plenty to get stuck into this Wednesday. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is Rory Delaghi. How are you, Rory?
I'm very well, thanks, Mark.
Good, good man. Are you feeling better? Last time we did a podcast, you sounded unwell.
I'm not 100% back, but touching wood furiously, I should get through this okay.
Yeah, it might be an awkward podcast if you didn't. Let's have a little bit of chat about the big performance, if you like, from Tuesday afternoon. Thistlecrack's Chase debut, obviously very impressive in the World Hurdle last season, travels supremely well as a horse. He was already favourite for the Gold Cup before he'd even jumped a fence. Made a very encouraging Chase debut and subsequently 4-1 clear favourite now for the Gold Cup from sixes.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of debate about this. It's correct to cut him after the performance that he put in today, because you never know with a top hurdler how well they're going to take defences. And I've seen a number of promising novice chasers start this season, and he's impressed me most. His jumping was very good on the whole. The only blip, if you like, was one where Tom Scudamore asked him to go in short at the final ditch, and he saw a stride and went for it and absolutely winged it. But that's not a bad mistake to make as such, in that he didn't touch the fence at all. And it was very encouraging. But he was allowed to dictate his own terms. It was a weak enough race. He wasn't against top-class horses, as all his Gold Cup rivals will be. And the question you have to ask yourself isn't should he have been cut in the market after what he did today, but what was the right price to start him with Andy Post. And my view is that he's been put in too short, because there's been so much talk about him and he is such an exciting horse. To put him in his favourite for the Gold Cup, I think, is wrong. Although I've heard very good judges say he's the best horse in the race and therefore he should be favourite. Well, he's the best horse in the race based on an analysis of staying hurdlers. But I've been watching jumps racing for an awfully long time, and even the very best staying hurdlers have struggled to make good chasers. For whatever reason, you know, you tend to need to be hurdling for a fair while to be at the top of your game as a staying hurdler, and that kind of horse tends to struggle a little bit to cope with fences. Thistlecrack's different in that he got to the top of the tree very quickly.
Yeah,
you know, 2 years ago he hadn't even made his debut.
Yeah,
so you know he's had a similar sort of profile in terms of the number of races he's had over hurdles and the distances he's raced at as much younger horses. So he's been fast tracked, if you like, and he showed that today. His jumping was very good. There were no issues with him having to adjust his technique from hurdles, and he's clearly very exciting. But you do need to bear in mind that it is a big cultural shift from running in world hurdles to running in Gold Cups, and it's not like it's one of those years where it's very weak.
No, it could be a belting Gold Cup, couldn't it?
Exactly. So I think he's a little short. He was too short in the first place.
Yeah.
I think by definition, if you thought he was a 6-1 shot before today's race, you'd have to cut him to 4-1. That's the right reaction. But I feel that 6-1 was probably too short. You know, if he keeps stepping up, he's apparently going to go to Cheltenham for the open meeting. That's going to be very exciting.
Yeah.
Of course, Q Card was a follower at that meeting as a novice.
Yeah.
Before coming good, so you can't afford any hiccups. Whereas, you know, horses who are proven can, because they can fall back on previous experience. If he unseats or falls and is nicked start over fences, and even the best jumpers can in novice events, then that sets him back enormously.
Yeah.
He's looking to get 4 runs. Before the Gold Cup, and I would absolutely love to see it happen, but you've got to look at the statistical side of it as well and say that he's still got a little bit of a mountain to climb, and that isn't really reflected in his price, but he's hugely exciting.
Yeah, I'm going to steal a statistic from Twitter that I read earlier on in the day. It's from somebody called Dave Basag, at Dave Basag, tweeted, since 1988, 16 winners of the champion/stayers hurdle have run over fences, Only six have gone on to win grade one, two or three chasers, and only three outside of novice company.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. If you stick purely to the world hurdle,
yeah,
slash stairs hurdle, yeah, rather than the champion hurdle, those figures get worse. And again, the issue is that horses at the very top level over hurdles tend to delay a move to chasing until they maybe they're not quite as good as they were. If they're good enough to win a champion hurdle, they tend to stay hurdling.
Yeah.
And that's a bit of an issue. That's not really true of Thistlecrank, but it's something to bear in mind. And world hurdle winners, if you go through history, there are very, very few of them who've even made the greatest chasers.
Yeah. I think it is slightly different, like you say, though, with Thistlecrank this year. They only, you know, they got to the top of the tree in hurdling, but the plan was always to go over fences. They've done that straight away instead of sticking to possibly the easy route. And with the Tizards already having Q Card, who's going to have a real live chance in the Gold Cup, for them to decide, no, we're going to send this fella as well. He must have ability, and he looked a natural.
I know. I spoke to Colin Tizard minutes after he made the decision to send this horse to the Gold Cup this year, before he even spoke to the owners. And it was very interesting hearing him talking about Q Card. I did this for a festival magazine, so I was just talking about his history, the best horses he's had, and where he came from in terms of his background, etc. And he talked about Q Card, and he got very excited about Q Card, and he was very proud of what he'd done sourcing Q Card in the first place. But he talked about Thistlecrank in an entirely different way.
Right.
Thistlecrank excites him more than Q Card, which is something to say, given what a horse Q Card has been.
Yeah, yeah. And there was I think it was about five out today. I haven't watched it back since, but he had to be clever at one of his fences, and then, like you say, the open ditchway was big and bold. Sometimes a novice would be shy at that next fence.
Yes.
And he went and attacked it, which is a good sign, obviously. Thistlecrank 4-1 favourite for the Gold Cup on the back of that. Well, we're talking about jumps racing. Very exciting time of year. Got the Charlie Hall, and we'll see Q Card probably back in action on Saturday. Looking forward to anything else over the weekend or?
Yeah, there's two good cards at Wetherby and at Ascot, but it's difficult to know who's going to line up where. And I think the fields at Wetherby may cut up because the ground looks to be on the quick side.
Yeah.
I'd love to see Coney Gree back. He's engaged in that Charlie Hall,
but I don't think he's going.
He's a million to one to turn up because he needs soft ground. And you know, it might be pushing it for him to get to the big race at Haydock, which I think is his plan. They're going for the £1 million bonus.
Yeah.
Having missed out on that last year, and he's rather a forgotten horse. He's three times the price of Thistlecrank for the Gold Cup, despite the fact that he's won one.
Yeah.
And he's unbeaten over fences. So
I suppose it's just with an injured horse, it's whether they come back the same, isn't it?
Yeah, that is partly that. And of course, Don Cossack's 10-1, and he's got to come back from injury as well.
Yeah.
I don't think Quinnegree's injury was as bad as some people think it was. He's the kind of horse who's always capable of picking up other injuries, though. That would be the worry for him. But, you know, we have a really good bunch of staying chasers. And that's going to be the Gold Cup picture is going to be really fascinating through the year.
Really is. We'll obviously revisit some of the weekend jumps action later on in the week, but we probably should start concentrating on Wednesday's action. We've got racing to preview from Nottingham, Chelmsford and Kempton. Winners to be found along the way, and we'll get Rory's thoughts in four races on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Okay, so we'll have a spin through these in chronological order. The first of them is the 250 at Nottingham, Class 4 handicap over a mile. It's for three-year-olds and older, 15 of them set to go to post for this one. It's going to be one of the more open betting races on the day, Rory. Any clues in there? Who do you like in there?
It's a very difficult time of year to be finding standouts, but it's a very, very competitive-looking race. In trying to narrow them down, I think you want to be drawn towards the inside. A horse I'd be interested in if there's money for him is the horse drawn right on the inside, Foulard, who I thought was going to turn into a very good horse about a year or so ago. And he's been in the doldrums, but he did show a lot more on his most recent start, but that was back in February, and whether he needs the run after a break. He's run very well at Nottingham in the past. He was picked up by Roy Byring from Godolphin for tiny money. So he's an outsider who might be worth paying attention to in the market. But of those in there, I'm going to go with the horse I've been with his last couple of runs, Course and Distance winner Trinity Star. He's been much better than the better result at Thirsk and Haydock in his last two runs. At Thirsk, I think he's got a bad ride on both of them from the same jockey who rides tomorrow. So it's testing the patience to back again. But at Thirsk two runs ago, he was drawn wide, which is a good draw at Thirsk over a mile. But his rider on that occasion, Paul Mulrennan, who it will be today, there's no point in in pretending it's a different jockey. He seemed determined to get the horse towards the rear and then move towards the inside, which never works at Thirsk. And he ended up just running up the back of beaten horses in the last furlong. Could have been placed if he was just kept reasonably wide. Might even have won with the brakes. But he went into my notebook again there. And at Haydock, he ran a very odd race next time on firm ground. He didn't seem to want to let himself down in the early stages. Got behind in the first three furlongs. And then it seemed with a couple of furlongs to go, Paul Mulrennan just give up and said, well, this is it. He's going to finish last. And no sooner had he dropped his hands than the horse picked up. So he then had to pull him to the outside and got after him. And he absolutely flew home to finish fourth. You can look at that race in two ways and say, well, he was just picking up the pieces late on there. And he didn't want to do it in the early stages. For me, I thought he just looked a bit unhappy on the ground in the first part of the race. But then picked up really well. It'll be easier ground at Nottingham tomorrow. Still, five's a good place to be. He's got a bit of speed around him as well. And given that he's been shaping better than the result in his course and distance winner, I think he's got a decent chance.
Okay, Trinity Star then for Rory in the 250 at Nottingham. The 3 o'clock at Chelmsford City is where we go next. This is a class two handicap over a mile and a quarter. 3 year-olds and older in the lineup here. And Godolphin looked to have a pretty strong hand. Lucery and very talented. The latter finishing third in the Cambridgeshire last time. And Raising Sand arrives here chasing the hat-trick. So it's quite a good race.
This is a very, very warm race indeed for the time of year. There are a number of horses to follow here. Most of them are turf horses thus far, and there's a slight question mark as to how they'll cope with a very warm race on the all-weather. I think most horses handle the surface okay. It's just a case of whether you can be competitive. And the likes of Brilliadoro and Raising Sand, who've been running well recently, Raising Sand particularly, was better than the result when getting up very late in the day last time out and had run a cracker on his previous start as well. He's drawn a stall 11 and he's a hold-up horse, and I think that's a recipe for disaster at Chelmsford. On turf, absolutely fine. It took a long time to get going when winning last time out, and I think he's badly positioned, as is Brilliadoro. I'd want to be drawn a little bit lower, and I'd want to be able to race reasonably handy. Another horse that we have in here who I'd certainly give chances to, Banditry, was a very, very unlucky loser at Doncaster. When he was badly hampered and flew home to be beaten ahead. The stewards deemed that the result, the interference was accidental, which is fair enough. The horse who won the race swerved in front of him. But they deemed that it made no difference to the result. It made a massive difference to the result. They'll win that on appeal. And of course, when they do, he'll be reassessed by the handicapper. He gets in here off the same mark. And he's got a big chance if he can stay in touch. But again, slight question mark with him, whether he is able to stay with them. So I'm going to stick with something with a little bit of form here and a horse who's got early speed, and that's Harlan of James Tate's. Martin Harley rides. Martin rides this track exceptionally well. And Harlan's one of the likeliest leaders here. He's also proven at the track, and there are very few in here who are. The other one who might make appeal at biggish prices is Pactolus, who's drawn just inside Harlan and has run his best races here. He's pretty exposed, more so than a few of these, but the fact that he handles the track means that he makes some each way appeal. But I'll go for Harlan in what is clearly the best race of the day on the flat.
Yeah, real warm handicap there at Chelmsford City, and the selection is Harlan for Rory. The 3:20 at Nottingham is where we go to next. This is Division 1 of this particular Class 4 handicap, over a mile and three quarters, 3 year-olds and older in action here. Some informed runners in this race as well. Quite a decent staying race.
Yeah, none more so than London Prize, although he looked like he'd be certain wherever he went after winning easily at Newbury last time out. He was a good second at Haydock on the 14th of this month, and then a week later he's followed up from the same mark in an apprentice race under Adam McNamara, who wasn't able to claim in that contest because of the nature of those. He claims £5 here on the horses. He's £3 higher than that. He was raised not for the Newbury run but for the Haydock run. But he's still well in, and he looks a good thing for any handicap, although he does have a flourishing rival in the shape of Transpennine Star to deal with, and Coeur de Lion, who's going the right way as well. I'm against Coeur de Lion here, although, because he seemed to take all of 2 miles and a furlong at Bath to get going last time out, and dropping back to a mile and six at a more conventional track might just find him out. He looks a thorough stayer, whereas London Prize, although he won at 2 miles last time out, he's got a bit more tactical speed about him, which is also true of Transpennine Star. So they look the pair to concentrate on, and I'll give London Prize the full benefit for that win last time out. And given that Adam McNamara knows him very well too, He gets the nod over Transpennine Star.
Okay, that's the selection for Rory. Then London Prize in the 3:20 at Nottingham. And the final race we look at is the 8:15 at Kempton. This is a Class 3 handicap over a mile and a half. This is just for the three-year-olds, eight of them to take their place in the lineup here, Rory. And Rocksteady has been banging his head on the door. Will it finally open?
Well, the question is whether he gets home at this trip. He's got form over a mile and three here at Kempton. But he was outstayed over a mile and a half at Leicester two starts ago. Ran very well with cheek pieces applied to be second to Ocean Ready last time out. That's good form. I like Ocean Ready a lot. And Rocksteady's only up £2 for it. So given that Roger Charlton's in very good form and in the hope that it's not run at a breakneck pace, I'll give him the nod. But the mile and a half trip is just a minor question mark. He's more likely to stay at Kempton than he is on turf at the likes of Leicester. So that just gives him the nod ahead of Red Rana, who's been running well, but has been beaten off similar marks in his last three starts.
Okay, so Rocksteady then for Rory in the 8:15 at Kempton. As usual, let's just have a little bit of a quick summary before you go, Rory. Just confirm your selections for us then for Wednesday.
In the 2:50 at Nottingham, I've gone for Trinity Star. In the 3:20 at the same track, London Prize. The 3 o'clock at Chelmsford, which looks the race of the day, I'll stick with course form and go with Hallan. And then in the 8:15 at Kempton, hopefully we can get out with a winner and Rocksteady.
Superb, good work, Rory. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy it on Wednesday. You'll be back in the studio, won't you?
So. Thank you very much indeed.
Good stuff. Rory will be in the studio with Andrew Mount and Darren Owen there live for Nottingham, Fakenham and Chelmsford in the afternoon, Kempton and Dundalk in the evening. We go on air at 1:20 p.m, so do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Wednesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.